Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to Indie Music Diaries with me, Lockie. Stoked that you're here for another episode of the podcast. This is the show where we have casual conversations with real musicians. Already stuffed up in the first 10 seconds, but we soldier on because that's what it's all about. We're down in the gritty nitty of it. And man, thanks so much for listening to last week's episode. If you did, Veronica Lawson, who, as I mentioned in the episode, is one of the busiest musicians I know. She's well known in sort of my area for doing like 100 gigs in a month. She's just amazing the amount of output she does in terms of her music career. And I had a great chat with her because we talked about, you know, all that sort of things, gigging, but obviously that isn't really happening too much at the moment with the pandemic and everything. So she's getting really into the Twitch side of things, which is something that I'm hoping to get into. So it was like almost like a genuine me sort of like asking her questions, like sort of figuring out how it all works. And for her, I mean, she's been on it for a couple of weeks and has already gained like a few hundred followers, I think. So good to see that she's getting success on it. And it's interesting, right? Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of Twitch viewers from my point of view. I could be wrong. And again, I'm fairly new to this sort of the Twitch live streaming community. But I don't know that many people that like go and casually sort of watch Twitch in their own time. And it's one of those things which, I mean, it probably is growing and it probably is... I'm just assuming is more of a thing with younger people. You know, you think of games like Fortnite and, you know, Among Us. I mean, obviously Twitch is a very big thing for video gaming, but it's becoming this really unique opportunity for artists to broadcast themselves in a platform that is really dedicated to that, right? Because again, we touched in that episode, last week's episode with Veronica, how the live streaming thing isn't new. It's obviously been around for a while, and we're sort of living in this current day and age in social media world where everyone's sort of copying each other with features, you know, which is, you know, it's understandable. You sort of want to, if something's working, you want to jump on that trend. And you know, at the moment, it's sort of the TikTok thing as well. You know, the shorter videos, the vertical videos are sort of the way to go. But it's really interesting seeing how much of an impact Twitch is having on the music community. And it started off, I mean, I remember like going on it like a few months ago and it was like just like DJs. It was just like 95% just DJs, which is cool. Like that's a thing, but there wasn't many sort of, you know, like people just playing guitar or piano. And there's like more and more of that now, you know, vocalists and everything. And especially if you can get to the point where you start making money off it too, it becomes a replacement for the gigging. And it's really interesting talking to someone like Veronica, who has been a full-time gigging artist for what, I think it was 5 years. And she is seeing Twitch as like a really viable, I mean, not like a complete replacement for that, but just to supplement, you know, some of that. And it really, really helps out. So I don't know. Let me know what if you're listening, if you're into the Twitch thing, are you a Twitch viewer? Because for me, it's something that really intrigues me, and I'm hoping to get onto it soon. Actually, that's some news I can sort of show you guys right now. I bought this little guy, and this is something that right here. If you're watching the episode on YouTube, I'll explain what this is. So, this is an Elgato HD60S Plus. Long name. Basically, what it does means I can connect like my gaming consoles and stuff to my laptop, so I can start streaming. And basically, I want to sort of trial. This is like a sneak peek. Again, that's the whole point of this podcast. It's a bit of sort of a, you know, it's Indie Music Diaries. It's like my little diary entry, but we're going to be trialing like sort of like a hybrid, like music, video gaming, streaming thing where I'm just sort of hanging out. And I think that'll be cool, man. I think that'll be fun. But yeah, I just got this little device the other day. So that's what that does, which is pretty cool. And, you know, whether sort of I go down the music route or the sort of the video gaming thing, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, man, I just find it so interesting, the rise of it. So check it out if you want that episode that I did with Veronica last week. Really, really cool episode. But man, I've been staying busy in the last couple of weeks. Of course, we're still in lockdown here, Greater Sydney. This is, I think, week 7. I've lost track now. We've all lost track. Everything's been a bit hectic, but the Olympics, been keeping busy with the Olympics. The Olympics have been on for the last 2 weeks and have just concluded just a couple of days ago. But man, what a good time. And it was a great little companion to have through our Greater Sydney lockdown here. But the Olympics is great because that's something that we can sort of all rally around. And especially for like here in Australia, you know, we're also, I think it's the time where we get the most patriotic, right? Whenever we see an Aussie competing in anything, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, archery, table tennis, you know, diving, just like the most random, like equestrian, like where they do like the show jumping with the horses and stuff like that. Man, it's so exciting. I had a girl who I went to school with, Nicola McDermott. We were in the same year at school. She went and got a silver medal in high jump, which was awesome, which was very exciting for our local community as well. But that's been the thing, man. And for me, the weirdest sport, it's been about like the more obscure sports this Olympics. And I actually put something off on my Instagram story. I put this up, this poll it was my hot take that swimming was the most overrated sports in the Olympics. And let me explain for a second, right? Because it's number one, it's the thing that gets shown the most on sort of the main channel, at least here in Australia, of course. And I mean, it makes sense because here in Australia, we are pretty successful when it comes to swimming. But man, I don't know. It's just, here's the thing, right? There's all the different swimming styles. So your freestyle, was it freestyle, backstroke, breaststroke, and butterfly? I think that's all of them, right? I'm not a swimmer. And then you've got all the different distances. So they do the 50 meters. 50 meters is pretty exciting because that's like the 100 meter sprint, you know? It's just sort of like done in like 5 seconds. But then they have so many variations, 100 meter, 200 meter, and then they do like the relays, and then they got to do all of that for women and men. There's like all up, like I don't even know how many races there would be, but it's just insane. Like which one's the biggest one? Which one's the best one? Like in the other sports, it's easy to follow. It's like, cool, this is the sport and we've made it to the gold medal match or the gold medal, you know, part of this competition. And swimming, it's just like you turn it on and it's just like, here's the 400 meter butterfly backstroke. There's four swimmers swimming. Two of them are going to go backwards. And when they do the last 50 meters, they're going to do freestyle. And it's just like, man, can't keep track. But anyway, and you know, not to diss on swimming, because that sounds like I'm just dissing on swimming. Like I get behind it when the Aussies, you know, are doing well. And of course we had that very meme-y moment, which became a internet sensation, where I'm not sure what his name is, but he's an Aussie swimming coach. And of course he had like that absolutely like insane celebration, which is one of the highlights of the Olympics, that's for sure. But of course that's been circulating on the internet. How good was that? But yeah, man, it's been about the weirdest sports. Archery, I got really into archery, which was interesting because that's not a sport I generally watch. But I, you know what I didn't realize? How far they shoot, how far they have to shoot. You know, because all they show is obviously the close-up of the archer. I was trying to think of what you call an archery person. I was like, archerian? Archer, of course. They show the close-up of the archer because it's very intense and like the bow and the holding the arrow. And then, of course, there's just the zoom-up of the target. And it's like, bam! Like they shoot and then it's just the close-up of the target. Bam! Like, there it is. And it's like, oh, well, they're really, really accurate. And I don't know, I'm thinking it's maybe like, what, 5-10 meters away? I'm naive when it comes to that sort of stuff. Zoom out. I don't know how far it was, but it looked like bloody 40-50 meters. It was so freaking far. And I was like, oh my, this is like way more impressive now, the fact that they're shooting that far. Because not only do they have to like aim it on, but like they've got to think about all the different... you know, all the different like stuff like the wind and everything, like the environment around them, the dip of the arrow in terms of like the angle. So like the weight of the arrow, I assume, like impacts it. And that's right. And I posted about this as well. This is all in my Olympics highlight on my Instagram story if you want to go check it out. The heart rate. They track their heart rate, which I made a comment, which would be the most terrifying part of it. The thought that millions of people around the world are seeing your heart rate, that itself would make my heart rate go up. It's like, all right, I'm going to get this shot. But also, I had to wear this thing. I assume they're wearing a thing, like across their chest or something under their shirt where it like attracts the heart rate, or maybe on the wrist, I don't know. But like, and then that's getting broadcast. I assume they get told that it gets broadcast, that information gets broadcast around the world. And everyone knows when they're freaking out. And it's really interesting because it's like, like, especially if they're doing like their final shot, they have to get it like right in the middle. And they're like, I was like, oh, is he going to keep his cool? It's like, don't freak out. And you feel bad because then you see it tick up. It's like 157, 158, 159. It's like, oh God, no, he's freaking out. Please, no, dude, keep it cool, keep it cool. And I found that so unique. Imagine if I had that in other sports too. I don't know if that is the thing in other sports, but dude, especially in archery. I mean, that's the thing I've probably gotten into. The sports that have been a lot more quiet and sort of very focused and really intricate, like table tennis. Table tennis is, I've always loved table tennis. You know, who doesn't love table tennis? And it's just insane how good they are at hitting that ball and just getting the spin on it and everything. That's the thing. I always like to think that I'm really good at table tennis, and I was like, yeah, I could like go into tournaments and stuff and like try and compete. And then I watched them, I'm like, who am I kidding, dude? Who am I kidding? But that was fun. But the other thing that I was watching a bit was the canoe slalom. I think it's pronounced slalom. I don't know. S-L-A-L-O-M. And it's hectic, dude. How gnarly the water is, and how that's like terrifying. That's terrifying. That's another terrifying as well. These Olympians, man, they're so brave. But it was so hectic seeing them do such a physically demanding task in such gnarly conditions. And I put up a video about it. I put up a thing on my story about sort of how it sort of looked funny if you look at them. Like if you look at the people in the boat. So this is the canoe slalom. It was really, really weird because it looks like they have sort of like their torso, like it's cut off from like, I guess their belly button down is sort of in the canoe, and they've just got to take a heck of amount of like upper body strength to do this. But their legs and everything, that sort of from the belly button down, are all in the canoe. And it looked really interesting. And I put this video up basically saying that, making the joke that like, oh yeah, these canoe people, like they're actually like born like that. They're like half man, half canoe, sort of like a centaur thing. And the caption that I put in it was like, think mermaid, but like a boat. And I thought it was kind of funny. I threw it up on TikTok, and this happened. it blew up. I put it up on my TikTok, and it absolutely blew up, which was completely unexpected. But it's been just under a couple of weeks, and it's already got over 1 million views, which is much higher than anything I've ever had before. At the moment, 120,900 likes. And dude, people just jumped on it, and it was so funny seeing all the comments too. And that's what I've learned too. I was actually seeing a thing, Chris D'Elia, who he's got his own podcast that I watch, and he's on TikTok as well. And he makes the comment that like when you go super viral on TikTok, that's when you get the comments that are sort of a bit questionable, right? Like people sort of commenting random things, they're not really getting the joke. And that's the thing. This was like a 5-second video, and it was just like a dumb joke. And a full-on debate broke out in the comment section. Here's this comment. So there's this first guy here, and he's like, actually, I got heaps of comments like this. But this guy's like, that's not a canoe, that's a kayak. Because, I mean, in the video I say canoe. That's not a canoe, that's a kayak. And, I mean, I don't even know what it is anyway. But this like opened this massive can of worms. First of all, that comment got 44 likes. And then this guy down here, no, it's a canoe. Single paddle and kneeling is a canoe. Double paddle and sitting is a kayak. So already I'm lost. I'm not in this debate at all. I don't even care anyway. I don't even know what the answer is anyway. And I'm not really interested to find out, to be honest. But the guy responded. So the first guy was like, no, that's a kayak, not a canoe. So he was standing his ground. And I'm just like watching this. These comments like rolling. And I was like, this is hilarious. Like these guys, this is sort of just broken out. Second dude replies, dude, I'm a kayaker. That's a canoe, .. So they're both standing their ground. First guy, that's not a canoe. It's a damn kayak. It doesn't matter what position or what number of paddles you use it on. That's a goddamn kayak. So this guy's getting pretty passionate now about it. He's determined that this is a kayak. And then this is sort of where the cavalry rocks up. The second guy's like, K, you're wrong, but K, so shut down. And then this new guy, this other guy who hasn't said anything yet, is like, mate, it's a C1, therefore it's canoeing. Whereas K1, it's kayaking. Trust me, I've been doing it for 12 years. Okay, absolutely lost me now because he's just talking about letters and numbers. And apparently he's been doing it for 12 years. So we have a kayaking slalom, canoe slalom specialist has somehow rocked up in the comments and schooled us all. Other guy chimes in, bro, just Google it. I agree. This other person here, I got your back, buddy. This is 100% a canoe. He's competing in the canoe slalom for a reason. And then this other guy, dude, it doesn't end. No, whitewater boats look similar. But in kayaking, the paddle has a blade on each end. This is clearly a canoe paddle. Oh, dude, I'm so bored. Just because you use a paddle with one blade doesn't magically change the kayak into a canoe. This is so funny. Let's remember that this is all over some dumb 5-second video that some random Aussie dude just whacked up on TikTok. And this like full-on debate has opened up in terms of the origins of canoes and kayaks and C1s and K1s, whatever the heck that means. And I almost wanted to jump in there. She's like, hey guys, make sure to stream my debut EP as well. It's out right now. But I figured I'd better not. But dude, some of the comments on here are just like, you just don't get the point, do ya? But some of them were really, really funny. They were born with a canoe. Yeah, that was the joke. And what were some of the other ones here? They don't get to pick their own color, that's sad. and then actually there was a really funny comment at the top as well. Hear me out. Canoe tours. Centaurs, but in a canoe, which was great. And that got over 2,000 likes, that comment. But dude, my first viral TikTok. Hooray. Didn't expect it to be this one. Did I post a cover of every single John Mayer song ever written and every day for 80 days and didn't blow up? Yeah, I did. No, my intention wasn't to blow up. I was just doing a fun thing. But it is just funny. The fact that like I've only been on TikTok for like a year or now, year or so, but this is the one that sort of took off. I have to thank it though, because it sort of boosted my follower count up by 500, which means I can now do live streams on TikTok. So thanks, canoe slalom TikTok, for helping me get to live stream territory on TikTok. But that's been funny, man. It's been a fun experience to sort of see it blow up. And like I said, that's sort of when all the interesting people come up and some of the comments are just like, man, it's just a joke. Like, just relax. But who knows? You know, it's that seems to be the formula, just a random shitty joke that's under like 10 seconds or whatever it was. But TikTok, man, I mean, that's the other thing. I was talking about at the start of the episode about the whole Twitch thing and that sort of becoming, you know, a new medium for musicians. We haven't even touched on TikTok, and it's something that I've spoken about a little bit on the podcast, but TikTok, it's nuts, man. And, you know, I was watching a video actually on TikTok, a guy talking about the importance of it in terms of it's a very unique platform that we have right now where you can get, so you can sort of explode and see success, you know, really, really quickly and sort of create opportunities out of that. On this platform, which is unlike any other platform now, just the reach that these things can sometimes get, you know, with that sort of that TikTok that I posted, I think I had 700 followers at the time. So it's not like it's got nothing to do with your follower account or something. The algorithm just sometimes just takes it and just goes. And that's the beauty of it in a way. That's why I find it so exciting to sort of make content and be really creative on it, because you just never know when people are going to connect with it and whether it's going to take off. And, you know, it's tricky because I think you can spend a lot of time making content for a platform like content. It's a similar thing with YouTube, right? Where you feel like it's like the numbers really aren't sort of working for you. And I know I've spoken about it in a couple episodes, sort of like how not to rely on the numbers. But at the same time, there's a difference between sort of analyzing the numbers and sort of taking them on emotionally. I think there's a difference between that. But using the numbers as sort of, you know, a metric to sort of analyze, you know, whether you're sort of putting out the correct sort of content, I think that's sort of like a legitimate thing to undertake, that sort of that to do research on yourself. But it's tricky when you sort of feel like you've been grinding away. And like I said, I covered every single John Mayer song, not including the new album, for like every day from January 1st, 2021. And like it didn't necessarily like sort of, you know, do much for the page. But sometimes it just takes one thing just to skyrocket and just sort of pop off. And even if it's not related to anything that you do, then it's like, oh, well, you know, I mean, like I said, it's like, thanks for random video. You just like gave me 500 followers. So now I can do live streams. But man, if you're a musician, get on the TikToks. It's a crazy time, but it's a fun time. And that's the thing. Almost my attitude now is just to like, let's just whack, you know, everything and anything up there. And, you know, it's one of those things where Instagram people are still a bit sort of protective about the Instagram pages, and that's so cool. Like respect. But I think TikTok is sort of the platform where you can sort of go to town a bit and sort of just have a bit of fun. Be creative. Do stuff that's sort of outside the box. I wasn't planning on throwing up that video. The canoe TikTok was just an Instagram story. And I was like, I think it's kind of funny. I might just whack it up on TikTok to see what happens. 1.1 million views later, boom, that happened. So, and again, not to talk up like the amount of views that it got, but like I just think it's funny more than anything. I was just seeing it and I was just laughing the whole time just seeing the likes, because it's just like, what? Like this out of all things? And that's the thing. It's never what you expect. It's the same thing. That's of course the thing that people always say about like their songs, right? Whenever you're like you're sharing like music, like new demos with people, or if you like release like an album and like the track that you don't necessarily like that, not like that much, but you don't think is going to do that well is the one that people like the most, or is the one that sort of takes off the most. So you never know, you know, that sort of just goes to show that like once, if you sort of view something in a certain way, the audience can sort of interpret it in a completely different way. It can have a completely different impact to what you sort of intended. And, you know, that can sometimes be a bad thing or can sometimes be a good thing. But man, the crazy world of online social medias, and I guess that has sort of been the theme of this episode, hasn't it? Sort of the online world and the impact that it has on not just music, but just everything now, right? All creative fields, that's the thing. But man, and this podcast, which has been sort of keeping me company through this lockdown, one of those activities, this is great. This podcast is great for me because it's a consistent thing that I have to stay on top of. Working for yourself is basically like, and especially being a solo artist, there aren't really like any sort of barricades in terms of like, if I don't do a task one day, it doesn't really matter. Like no one's holding me accountable. And I'm starting to learn that that's a dangerous thing, especially in lockdown, because I'm sort of just getting a little bit extra lazy now. So this podcast is good because I just make sure before every Wednesday that I record and do the episode. And hey, are we recording on Tuesday night? Yes, but I'm sort of liking the nighttime vibes. Maybe this will be a new thing, recording at nighttime. But man, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much for joining me for another chat. And has this episode been a bit random and weird? Yeah, but hey, maybe this is the evolution of the podcast. And that's the whole idea. It's super raw. It's super organic. But thanks so much. No, I really, really appreciate it if you've been sticking around for these pod episodes and enjoying the journey with me, because, man, it's been a lot of fun. But, I mean, this just goes to show this is the kind of episode that you do after 7 weeks of lockdown, hey, where it gets a little bit weird. But, hey, if you haven't followed me on TikTok, you can go ahead and check out the link in the link tree down in the description of this podcast. New episodes of Indie Music Diaries drop every single Wednesday and are available on all the podcast platforms and YouTube. Will I start Twitch streaming soon? Who knows, but I'll make sure to let you know about it if you follow me on the social medias. Do I need to say anything else? I don't think so. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying well. And man, thank you so much, guys. I'll chat to you guys next Wednesday.